Well, good morning, and so great to be part of this service this morning. So great to welcome you again. Thank you for joining us, and we are continuing our series called Go, Incredible Adventures with God. And I'm excited about this morning's message. I'm also taking a bit of a risk with it, but I'll let you know what that is at the end. But for now, I got a question, speaking of risk, and it is this. What role should risk have in the life of a Christian? What role should risk have in the life of a Christian? Because I think the assumption is that when it comes to Christianity, when it comes to religion, that by nature it is risk averse. That we associate Christianity, religion, with being conservative, with being traditional, that we, you know, I guess traditionally dress conservatively, we have conservative morals, we follow an ancient religion, we have institutions which are historically slow to change. And so the assumption, I think, when it comes to Christianity is that it is a place where there is not much room for risk. In fact, we might be actively countering risk. But actually, I'm going to be walking us through a parable this morning, and it's a parable Jesus told, and the point of this parable is to encourage risk-taking. So let's take a look at it. It's from Matthew chapter 25. And to give you a bit of context, this parable that Jesus is saying, where this is located in the book of Matthew, Jesus is talking about the end times. He's talking about he's going to go away, he's going to come back, and that the world as we know it will end. He will come and bring judgment. He will take his people to be with him forever. And so this whole section of Matthew is talking about that moment, the end times moment. And so this passage begins with the words, again, it. And so it, the it here is the end when Jesus returns. So it says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now, just so we understand the gravity of this situation, in the original language, this it's not talking about bags of gold, it's talking about talents. And a talent is worth 20 years of a day laborer's wage. So if you think about it, to the first person, to the first servant, the master entrusted 100 years of a day laborer's wage. So let's call that $5 million. To the first servant. To the second servant, $2 million. And to the third servant, $1 million. It's a lot of money. And so these are high stakes. This is a high pressure situation. One of the servants goes out, makes $5 million more. The next servant goes out, makes $2 million more. The third servant is so afraid of losing the $1 million, he buries it. So then, the master returns. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." And now we reach the point of tension in this story. How is the master going to respond to this servant who buried his $1 million? Then the man who had received one bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold for him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So, what's going on here? Do you feel bad for that third servant? Is anyone with me in this? Because it seems like a particularly harsh response. He didn't lose the money. He was able to return the money, the $1 million that the master had entrusted to him. And yet, the master responds with this complete anger and rejection of him. So what's going on? Is this about productivity? Is this about labor or work? And we get a hint of that, don't we? Where the master says, "You lazy servant, you're worthless, get out of here." But actually, I think we get a hint of what this parable is ultimately about in these words that the servant speaks to the master. He says, "Master, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." Ultimately, yes, the issue here is that the third servant didn't gain anything, didn't have an increase on what the master had entrusted to him. But beneath that, at the heart of this, the issue is that the servant was afraid. The servant was afraid to take a risk. Because if you think about it, how did the first two servants gain an increase on what the master entrusted to them? Well, the only way you can gain an increase is by putting it to work, is by conducting business. And in order to conduct business, you have to buy the means of production. You have to purchase stock. You have to put some of that wealth at risk. That's what the first two servants were willing to do. They were willing to work. They were willing to engage in business. They were willing to put their master's wealth at risk in order to gain a return. But the third servant was not. The third servant was afraid. And so the third servant hid the wealth that the master had entrusted to him. So I think often when I've thought about this parable, I've thought about it in terms of these two questions. You know, if we're going to apply this parable. And the first question is, what has God entrusted to you? We don't have bags of gold. We don't have talents in that sense. Although sometimes we kind of turn that into a metaphor about our skills and talents and abilities. But when we think about this parable, and for myself, I often think about it in these two questions. What has God entrusted to you, and what are you doing with it? Are you using it, or are you hiding it? And so in my mind previously, and when I've heard this spoken on before, it's been a parable on productivity, Are you being productive with what God has given you? Are you being fruitful with it? And that is part of it, for sure. But there's another question that comes in the middle here. And the question is, what are you afraid of losing? In other words, what are you willing to risk? It's risk, it's fear that is at the heart of this parable. Are you willing to risk losing something in order to gain something for the kingdom? And I think in our society, we have such a kind of risk-averse mentality, don't we? And I think often we feel this pressure, and it's kind of like this ladder of expectations. At every age, we have this expectation on us about what we will have achieved, what we will have done. If you think about as children from 0 to 18, there's this sense of, oh, how are you doing at school? What have your results been at school? How are you at sport, at music? We have these kind of assessments of how you're doing. How many friends do you have? Have you been kissed yet? You know, it's like, are you meeting the standard of what you're supposed to have done by a particular age? And then if we say, think of the age 30, that's the kind of, by 30, right, there's this expectation that you have a career, right? You're on your way, you've got a career, you're independent, you're not living with your parents anymore, you're not financially dependent on them, you've stepped out. And maybe by 30, there's this expectation that you've been married, right? You've kind of done that. You've got a spouse, right? And you're ready to move on. Because by the time you're 40, it's well, have you got kids? And if you've got kids, how many kids have you got? Do you have a home? Have you bought property somewhere? Do you have a mortgage? By 50, it's how much advancement have you had in your job, in your career? It's the memories, the family holidays. Where have you gone? Those are the kind of ways that we might assess how we're doing in our life. And then by the time we're 60, the focus can be more on our children's achievements, their milestones. Have they finished high school? Have they gone to uni or TAFE or got a job? Or do they have a boyfriend or girlfriend? Or are they married? And also about our work achievements as well. And then by 70, it's that, are we ready to retire? What's our legacy? And the focus turns to our health. But at every stage in our life, we have these expectations on us. And the message is, whatever you do, don't fall behind. Don't miss out on this, you know. Here are the measures of whether you're achieving, whether you're on track with your life. Okay, 18, tick, tick. Okay, no, I'm behind on that one. I've got to catch up. 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, it goes on. And I don't know if you've seen those articles about how much super you're supposed to have, but there's a number for every age. You know, if you want to retire well, at 30, you're supposed to have this amount of money in your super, at 40, this amount, 50, this amount. And so we can have this pressure on us to always be meeting those standards, meeting those expectations, being up to speed, not falling behind. And really the question at the end of it is like, did you make it? Did you make it into retirement with health and with meaningful relationships and with enough money to live comfortably? And that pressure can force us into making conservative decisions, to avoiding risk, because we want to make sure that we're on that ladder, that we're hitting each step along the way. But actually, what God would invite us to is to not see our lives as this kind of linear ladder of set things and expectations and milestones that we're supposed to meet. Instead, he would have us see it more like this, a collection of ladders, a lattice, where there isn't just one way, one set of rules or expectations by which we have to live, where marriage isn't the only way to have a meaningful, intimate relationship, where you can find that in friendships, in the church, in other ways, where biology isn't the only way to have children, where one particular job or career isn't the only way that you can find purpose and achievement, where these dollar amounts on our super isn't the only way that we can have a happy retirement if we make it to that. And actually, our progression through life doesn't have to be linear either. It doesn't always have to be moving in the same direction. From the perspective of the world, sometimes we can go across and up and down and across again and up. And that is the adventure. That's the adventure that God is calling us to, where our life isn't funneled into this specific way of living, but where we're invited to explore the breadth of all that life has to offer and all that God has for us. And we're willing, at least in the eyes of the world, to take steps back from time to time, because we're trusting that God will lead us into a greater life. So, what I want to, if you can flick forward, Brad, thanks. What I want to encourage you to think about is not in terms of your life where you just think, am I going to make it? You know, am I going to make it to retirement with enough money, relationships, meaning, health, happiness to be okay? Because what Jesus is inviting us to is to look beyond that moment and look to our post-retirement life, our life with Him in eternity, when we come before Him at the end of our life, because the question Jesus is going to ask us in that moment, it's not, did you have a spouse? How many kids do you have? What school did they go to? What job did you have? What achievements did you have? He's not going to ask us any of that. He's going to ask us, what did you do with the things that I entrusted to you? And those things are things like your faith and hope. What did you do with the gospel and the truth that you've received from Him? What did you do with the love and compassion that God put in your heart? What did you do with that vision or dream or idea that God gave you? What did you do with the spiritual gifts you received from Him? What did you do with the calling and the purpose that He gave you? And also, not just did you have a family or kids or job or home or career or relationships, but what did you do in them? How did you represent God? How did you advance His kingdom? How did you seek the Spirit's guidance in your family, with your children, with your home, career, friendships, and the resources that He's given to you? That's, I think, the message that Jesus would have us take from this parable. And so what I want to do is I want to get us to think in really practical terms about our lives. And I want to walk you through a way of how we can put this into practice. How we can live our lives not in this kind of conservative, risk-averse perspective of the world, don't fall behind, don't miss out kind of mindset, but a mindset that says, all right, God, what do you have for me? I'm open, let's go, whatever it looks like. I'm on board. All I want to do is be faithful with the things that you've entrusted to me. So, let's look at some examples here of what God might have entrusted to you. And as you see these, I want you to think about, what has God given to you that He is asking you to be faithful with? Things like your health, your home, your resources, your faith, your love, visions, ideas, revelations, callings, knowledge, wisdom, discernment, deliverance, power, the gospel, the Spirit, friendship, communication, perseverance, productivity, leadership. God has given you many things. God has given all of us many things. So think about, what has God entrusted to you that He's wanting you to be faithful with? And then the second question at the heart of this is, what are you afraid of losing? Or in other words, what are you willing to risk in order to be faithful with these things? And I think at the heart of all of us, we have four kind of basic needs that we all desire, that we all want. And especially when I think of myself, when I come to retirement, Lord willing, I think, what do I need? What do I want that will kind of cause me to be happy in that moment? And I think it starts with our basic needs, with our food, clothing, shelter, our health. Then it's our relationships. What meaningful relationships do we have? Who are we sharing our life with? Then it's meaning. What gives our life meaning and purpose? And then it's pleasure. What brings us pleasure? I think if we have all of these things met, if we have our basic needs met, if we have relationships in which we're sharing our lives with people, if we have meaning and purpose in our life and things that we find pleasure in, I think we would all kind of say we're doing all right. If we can get to the end of our life and say that we have those things, then we'd be like, okay, this is good. But I think usually one or more of those things is the thing that we are also most afraid of losing. One or more of those things is the thing that we're least willing to risk in seeking to be faithful to God. So what is it for you as we start to think about this in a practical way? What are you afraid of losing? What's the hardest thing for you to risk? And then third, the question is, what are you doing with it? What are you doing with what God has entrusted to you? Are you using it in a productive way, in a faithful way, or are you hiding it? Are you burying it in the ground? And then there are two follow-on questions for that, which are, well, depending on your answers to those first three questions, what would Jesus say to you? As you look at this parable, what would Jesus' words to you be? Would it be, well done, good and faithful servant, you've been faithful, here's more, come and join me in my happiness? Or would it be, you worthless, lazy servant, why didn't you trust me? Why didn't you step out in faith? And then fifthly, what would the final outcome be? Because I think all of this is based in the context of a principle Jesus said, that those who want to save their lives will lose it, but those who lose their lives will find it. And I think so often when we're afraid of losing things, when we want to hold on to them so much, rather than release them to God and trust Him with them, often in our attempts to save them, to save our relationships, our sense of meaning, our pleasure, to save those things that we think will make us okay, and when we don't trust God with them, in the end, the result is that we lose them. And so again, this is an invitation to trust God with it. I want to take these five questions and just quickly kind of illustrate by way of my own life how I have thought through these and lived them out. So when I think at the big picture of my life, what has God entrusted to me? I think God has given me some unique things, as He's given all of us some unique things. God has given me visions and dreams. He's given me ideas for new things that don't yet exist. He's given me faith to seek Him and the Spirit's guidance along the way. What am I afraid of losing? I think God has helped me in some ways to not be afraid of not having enough money or not having meaning or pleasure in my life or in retirement. But I do feel somewhat afraid of losing relationships, of being without relationships. And so I'm constantly aware of that cost to my faithfulness to God. And sometimes I feel that tension where God might be calling me to a new thing, which might be mean going to a new place. But I feel that I don't want to lose my friendships. I don't want to be away from the people I love. And so for me, that has been a tension in a number of situations. And so what am I doing with it? Well, I think of moments in my life when I finished high school. I worked at Coopers and Lybrand. It was briefly at the time, then PwC, and then I worked at Energy Australia, and I was working in the city in finance, and I remember when I quit at PwC, and one of the people there said, I'd give anything for my son to have the opportunity you have and to have the career that you could have here. When I left Energy Australia, I had people saying like, you know, we saw in you, like you were going to be upper management, you know, you were going to have a career and here, and I stepped away from those things because I didn't feel God calling me to them. It wasn't that they were bad, it's just that that wasn't what God's calling was for me. From like the ages of 25 to 35, I put nothing in super. So my balance flatlined in there because I was either at Bible college or overseas or just working for ambassadors, a sports ministry where I didn't get paid that. I was falling behind. I really felt like I was falling behind there. And then also when it came to children, I also felt like I was kind of falling behind with that as well, but was just trusting God with it, and God brought me a great wife in Jillian who had a different perspective on children, and so her calling was to adoption, and I didn't feel that was my calling, but I had married her, and so we went through this process of going, okay, well, what does that look like? And then me feeling peace about moving in that direction, and then having Min and just feeling the joy of that different path that God had me on. And I know in myself that by nature, God calls me to new things, to start new things, to pursue new things, to have visions, dreams. And so part of that is going to involve a lot of change. I've now been at CBC for over 5 years, and that's the longest I've ever done anything continuously in a vocational sense in my life. I know that's unique to me. And again, when I share my experience, I'm not saying that that should be yours, but I'm saying this is how I have kind of wrestled with and played it out in my life of being willing to let go of those things about, well, what about my super? What about what happens? Will I have enough when I retire? What, God keeps moving me around. How am I going to maintain those relationships? What if I just end up in some random place and I don't know anyone and that's the end of it? And with kids, of just going, well, at one point I didn't think we were going to have kids at all. And then we went down this different path. But it was just about trusting God with that. And seeking to be faithful with what he had entrusted to me. But it also plays out in our daily decisions. If I apply these questions in a daily sense, what has God entrusted to me? Well, I think God has entrusted to me the ability to communicate his truth in a clear way, in a relatable way, that he's given me insight, spiritual insight and discernment, relationships in which I have the opportunity to speak into people's lives. But again, that fear, my fear of loss of relationships plays in a big way in the daily conversations that I have with people. Because I often feel like, well, if I am totally truthful, if I do, you know, just put it out there and say, well, this is what I think God wants for you, and no, I don't disagree, I don't agree with that. I actually disagree, and this is what I believe God's truth is in this, that I'll lose relationships. If I am able to speak God's truth that boldly to people, and so I know, whereas in the big picture decisions of my life, I do feel like I'm able to kind of risk those things and step out in faith. Often for me, it's in the daily conversations where I hide it, where I bury the truth, where I hide God's word because I'm not willing to risk someone being offended or someone rejecting me or someone thinking badly of me because of what I'm saying. And so in this area, I do feel the tension, or I think of the times where I've been in a conversation with someone and had the opportunity to speak God's word into their life, and I've bottled it, I've hidden it because of my fear, because of my unwillingness to risk relationship in that situation. And so I think what God would say to me in that case is, well, don't you trust me? Don't you know that I can meet all of your needs for relationship? And actually, don't you know that your relationships with people will be better and more authentic if you're willing to speak honestly and consistently with them? Don't you trust me with this? And I do believe God's words are true, where he says, whenever you try to save your life, you'll lose it. And if you are willing to lose it, you'll find it, because I want to trust God in that he will meet that need for me, and that I will experience fuller, better relationships with people if I can trust him and speak truth in them. So they're just two examples. And again, I want to make this really clear. My story is not your story. In this parable Jesus told, one servant got 5 talents, the other 2, the other 1. It was different. God works differently for all of us. God has called me into pastoral ministry right now. But for you, it might be business. For you, it might be homemaking or teaching or nursing. Whatever it is, in the end, God, there isn't a right or wrong career. It's not about career, it's about calling. Are you being faithful to God's calling on your life? And really about your motivation in your decisions. Are you operating out of fear or are you operating out of faith? Are you willing to go on the adventure with God? So, as we finish, I want to bring up those slides and I want you to work through it. I'm just going to leave them up for 30 seconds each. And if you want to, you can look at this video later and you can pause it and you can take a bit more time with them. But just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you in this moment as we bring up these slides full screen so you can see it right there for you on the screen. So first of all, the question, what has God entrusted to you? And then the second question, what are you afraid of losing? In other words, what are you willing to risk in order to be faithful to what God has entrusted to you? Third question, what are you doing with it? What are you doing with what God has entrusted to you? Are you using it or are you hiding it? And as you think about that question, think about what would Jesus say to you? What would his response be to you right now? And if you play this out in your life, what will the final outcome be for you? So I want to encourage you guys, as we finish up, that God always invites us on into an adventure, and that the adventure of being faithful to God involves risk, but it's trusting in him, it's trusting in his character, it's trusting in his promises to us. Each week we've had a challenge, and this is the challenge I want to give to you for this week. Think of a fear that may be stopping you from being faithful with what God has entrusted to you. And take a deliberate action to counter it. I told you at the start of the message that I took a risk with this message today. And the risk that you may have noticed is that I've had no notes for it. Now, I've had some guides with the slides, but it had nothing in front of me, no words written. And part of that was me stepping out because my fear is of saying the wrong thing and you guys thinking worse of me for it. And so as a practical demonstration of living out this challenge, for this message, I've spoken without notes, trusting that God will use it and that you guys will still love me in the end, no matter what. Let me pray for us as we finish in worship. God, we thank you that you invite us to a life of adventure. We thank you that you entrust us with so much. And God, we pray that you would help us not to feel pressured into safe living from a worldly perspective, but that you would help us to step out, to take risks, to be willing to take steps back in the eyes of the world, but that we would hold on to you, trust in your goodness, and seek that your kingdom, your gospel in us, your love in us would grow and multiply, and that at the end of it all, you would welcome us into your happiness for all of eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.